Hi, this is totally PJ Souls, and you're listening to CineScare.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
So happy to be here, guys. Really happy.
And of course, with us, as always, as well, is from JoeBlow.com, a pro movie critic, Jimmy O, Mr. James Oster.
I'm a pro movie. I'm very pro movie critics.
He is. He's apparently. He is for movie critics.
Yay.
Yeah. Guys, Joe, I don't know if you realize this or not, but we are actually an international sensation. We have switched our hosting over to a new host, and they have a, I think, kind of more interesting way of looking at the analytics. And we have a significant following in England, in France, in Germany, in Switzerland, in Indonesia, Joe. It's not significant in Indonesia, though. It's only like 5 downloads. But I'm still kind of surprised that there's 5 downloads in Indonesia. And Australia, Canada, and of course, the old US of A.
See, and I've always thought we were going to be big in Japan, but maybe that's just me. No,
we haven't hit there yet. But when we do, I think we're going to go big. I think we're going to go big in Japan. But
we'll be like the Beatles.
Speaking of going big, I'm sure you weren't going to not mention this, but today is actually, or this recording symbolizes our 2-year episode.
Oh, that's right. It is.
Because we 52. Do an episode every 2 weeks, and this has been 52 episodes. That means we've been pulling this train uphill for 2 full years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have to say, we are beginning to see the fruits of our labors, Joe.
It's funny. I was going to say, and we've got nothing to show for it.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're negative all the time. It's like, well, our 5 listeners out there. But you're always downgrading the show, Joe. Actually, we're growing. We're bigger than ever. And those of you, if you're listening from the TikTok, we've gotten quite a few followers from the TikTok lately. And so the show has never been bigger, Joe. Never been bigger. You have to dismiss all of these sarcastic remarks.
And, get thee behind me.
Exactly. Get thee behind me, Joe. And also, I just wanted to, a little announcement. My book, The Last House, is currently on pre-order as of the release of this episode. It's currently on pre-order on Amazon or wherever it is you want to buy your books.
I got mine.
Mark already ordered his. So if you are interested, go there and look up The Last House by Matthew Speak. It's my new novel.
When can I get it?
It will be available officially. The release is Tuesday the 20th, so a week from today. Well, as of this recording. So, but when this episode comes out, it will be just a few days after this episode comes out. That very next Tuesday. So, this coming Tuesday, go to Amazon or wherever it is you buy books and look it up and buy it and then read it. And then
what's amazing is a month later, you can watch it. It will be a Tubi original. Right? you got the contract, right?
Hey, I might submit it.
They can turn those things out in no time.
Yeah. Well, Tubi is merged now with somebody and they're partnering. What is it, Mark? You
Canadian film thing.
Thank you, Mark.
It's so eloquent.
Wasn't it like horror TV or something like that?
It's a Canadian film thing. Come on, that answers your question.
That does.
Yeah, it's some film distribution and
thing. Mark.
thing. And they're going to they're doing a collaborative thing. They're gonna remake basically, I'm guessing, Terror Train with, you know, the Jamie Lee Curtis.
That's right. They are. Yeah, Terror Train, and then what was the other one? It was they're remaking one of the Amityville.
Amityville Curse.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. But honestly, Tubi's track record is not good. So no. they're gonna go for Terror Train. Matt, I don't think you've seen it yet. And
no, I haven't seen the original. No,
I love that one. Actually, it's actually really fun.
It's a great movie.
It's one I've always meant to see, and it's one of those holes, you know.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for someone to pick train horror as a theme.
Oh, is there much
train horror? We mentioned it last time. We figured we'd be able to scrape up at least five or six.
Yeah, yeah.
You can scrape up anything, actually, you know, any genre.
It's going to
be good or not.
There's definitely a few train horror movies I can think of just off of the top of my head, so we could definitely do that.
All right. That'd be cool. Yeah. And even if we couldn't... even if we couldn't fill out six, we could still, you know, maybe get a handful.
Well, we still have to do Tremors because one of our listeners definitely want us to do an episode on Tremors. So.
I'm sure we'll get to that at some point.
We're going
to
do
it. We have a really long list we're trying to work down. So
I'm very excited.
We're going alphabetical.
Yeah. No. I'm very excited about my next pick, though. I'm very excited about that.
So am I, Matt. So am I.
But Mark is next, so I won't even mention mine, other than I just did. But so anybody, Joe, did you watch anything non-theme related this week at all?
I actually did. I got time to watch one movie. I watched, I don't remember if it's The Watcher or just Watcher on Shudder. Yeah,
I think... tell me a bit about that one because it sounds familiar. I think I watched it.
It was the couple that moves to
Romania. Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
Yes. And the girl is American out of this couple. While the husband goes away to work all day long, she's kind of left at home to her own devices and trying to learn the language and learn the land and the culture and whatnot. And she keeps thinking that she's being watched by someone, and it's really creeping her out, and she starts to get really, really paranoid, and to the point where she's investigating the guy who lives across the street from her that she thinks, and, you know, and is going over there and trying to confront him. And she's pretty much, by the end of the movie, she's convinced that it's all in her head. Everybody around her is convincing her it's all in her head. You know, it's just the stress of the move and the culture shock and everything. So it's it was actually, there's some nice twists in it. The acting was quite well done. The script was good. I liked it. It wasn't like my thing. It was enjoyable. I don't really have anything bad to say about it, but you know, it was all right.
Micah Monroe carried it. She was very good in that film.
Yep.
Very good. Yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater last summer, I believe, and I liked it. It's nothing groundbreaking, but it's a good, straightforward, kind of paranoid sort of thing, and I thought it was a good thriller, like a pretty good, straightforward thriller. I liked it.
Like I said, I didn't have any problems with it. One character I want to point out, the guy's name is Bern Gorman. He was the... the villain, I guess or at least the person of interest in it. He has a very interesting look.
Yeah.
He looks like he's straight out of the Twilight Zone. He had a small part of Stryver in Dark Knight Rises. He's an excellent character actor. And like I said, he has a very unique look. And I think he did really good in this film.
Even the boyfriend, I think it was a well-acted film. It was it's a decent movie. Again, like I think Matt, like you said, not groundbreaking, but it's fine. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, yeah, if you're up for a thriller, kind of a mystery, tense, there's some tension involved, obviously. And I thought it was a pretty tight film, and it was very well directed. The cinematography I thought was great. I thought it looked fantastic. It's a good, I think it would, I felt like it, when I saw it in the theater, I felt like it would play better on a streaming situation. It's not, you know, not necessarily one that I had, you know, I had the, what is it, the A-list deal or whatever through AMC, where you get, you can go see three movies a week for, you know, $20 a month or whatever. So for that, it was fine. But if I had gone out to just pay full price on a ticket, I might've felt like it might not have been worth that. But I think streaming at home, it would probably plays really well. Yeah, Joe.
I was just going to agree wholeheartedly. This is not cinematically stunning. This isn't something you need to go run out and see in the theaters. But I do, anybody who's got Shudder, it's not a very long movie either. A little over an hour and a half, I believe. Yeah. Well worth your time though. So
definitely. Yeah.
That was all I had.
Jimmy, did you watch anything?
Well, I've seen Pearl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Tell us.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. I think that it is a better film than X. The more I think about it, it also made me like X more. I think it's really clever. I mean, and you know, there's a third one coming. They've announced the third one, Maxine. And it's so crazy how they came up with it. They're just like, oh, well, we got all the stuff. Let's make a movie. And it's, Pearl is really well written. And Mia Goth is, honestly, it's like one of the best performances of her career, easily a great performance from her, but I think one of the best performances I've seen in a horror movie in a long time. She's fantastic in it.
Oh, that's absolutely great.
Fantastic. I still cannot stop thinking about this movie. It's wild. It's wild.
Mark?
Yeah, Jimmy. So when you watch Pearl, what's the gore factor in this? Because when I watched the trailer, it has like a musical score. It seems almost like a musical watching the trailer. Like, well, what's the gore factor? Is it scary, or does it go like a completely different direction from what X was?
Okay, that's a great question. It pays tribute to classic movies, and it's got this kind of classic movie feel, but it does something that I thought was really interesting, and I don't want to give too much away. I won't give anything away, but there is, as for the gore, you're like, oh, they didn't really show. Oh my God. It was like that. It was like, oh shit. No, they show it. They show some stuff, and it's not Evil Dead gore, but it's really well done. It's really, really well directed. Incredibly well directed. It's
nice.
It's creepy. It's just creepy. And it's, but it also kind of gives a face to kind of the insanity. It reminded me of a little bit of Psycho. The original Psycho. That's kind of what it reminded me of. Yeah. So
interesting.
Really good stuff. Really good stuff. If you like, I think I liked it better than X because I think it's more of a, it just feels a little different. It definitely feels a little different, but I think it's more, I like them both, but I prefer Pearl.
Yeah. So, Joe, Matt and I, really loved X. Joe was okay with it, you know, he thought it was fine. So what are your thoughts on going to see Pearl, or if you're going to see Pearl?
Oh, I'll see it.
Okay.
I will see it with an open mind, just like I do Texas Chainsaw Massacre remakes, you know?
Oh, that last one was so good though, guys.
It was tremendous. It was, yeah.
Fantastic.
Ever seen.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah. Number one of the year.
You're not baiting me on that.
Okay.
It is better. You know what I will say though? It's better than Michael Douglas's husband. In
I was expecting that remark. Yeah.
Pull them all out. Yep. Jimmy, actually, I did have another thing. So you saw Pearl, but you've also seen another movie, and I don't think the three of us have seen I don't want you to say much about it. I just want you to give your overall impression, because I really would like to not go into this knowing anything, but Barbarian, yes, opened this last weekend, and it's kind of the most talked about film I listened to another podcast called All the Colors of the Dark, and that one of the Elric Kane, one of the hosts of that episode of that show, was saying he thinks it's the best thing he's seen all year. What's your impression?
Batshit crazy. Absolutely incredible. Because the thing is, I knew nothing. Please don't read about it. If you haven't seen it, don't read, don't watch anything. Just go, because the trailer tells you the first 20 minutes. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I'm going to tell you. Something happens. There's an Airbnb. There's a guy there. She's there too. Pennywise, whatever. Shit happens. I don't even want to tell you anything, because it's just,
that's fine.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, you know, I always think, I guess it, I most compared to Malignant from last year, that kind of shock value. Literally, the hour of this film is that. You're just like, whoa, okay, I did not expect that. That's insane. It's funny, it's wild, and it's pretty fucking fantastic.
Joe?
See, I'm looking forward to it because Jimmy has already told me more about this than I have heard, which is not much at all. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to, I have been purposely avoiding.
Yeah.
I actually, to this day, I still have not even seen the trailer.
Don't bother.
So no. I'm looking forward to it.
I've heard that the trailer doesn't give away very much. I still am avoiding it completely.
Well, because the trailer if you're watching it, maybe that seems kind of boring. I mean, we've seen this before. No, you haven't seen anything like this film ever.
Yeah. Mark.
I haven't seen the trailer. I think I saw like snippets of it, like just like, you know, parts of it, and then, you know, the title. And then I just decided to go against it because Jimmy said, don't watch, you know, the trailer. So I'm looking forward to this. It's you're hyping it up, man. You're hyping it up. I hope I'm not going to get disappointed, but I kind of respect your opinion. We don't agree on much, but I'm gonna watch this film for sure.
We agree on everything. What are you talking about?
No, we don't.
Oh my god, liar.
So Jimmy, anything else that you've seen that's new or non-theme related?
Nothing.
No.
I've been under a rock lately.
Mark, have you seen anything this 2 weeks?
I have, and I've watched three films, but I'm going to say it on record here on the podcast, Cinescare podcast. Dang it.
Someday.
Dang it. Yeah, someday. I have watched three films that some listeners had told me to watch, and I have decided to blog about it for the Cinescare Horror Podcast.com.
Look at you. Oh,
gasps.
Yeah. Big deal here. And spell check. It's going to be amazing.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
It's going to be run on sentences. I'm going to send it to you guys before. Well, I mean, I have to send it to you guys or else it's not going to get published. So, but I'm looking forward to it. Joe's been wanting us to blog a little, and I will say my first blog will be Strangeland with D. Snyder.
Oh wow.
Okay. A listener told me to watch this. They found out I didn't watch this film, and they've been hounding me, and so I watched it, and I said, you know what, I kind of want to write about this, so that's what I'm gonna do. And look forward to a blog in the next week, because I already have like seven paragraphs. So
can you tell us the titles of the other two?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just giving Strangeland right now.
All right. Well, that just gives me a reason to tune in next time.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So our audience will have to guess what Mark saw.
And we'll have to read.
And we'll have to suddenly
have
start
to read.
Reading.
Yeah. And if you can read it, you know, God bless you.
Okay. Well, I did watch one movie that was non-theme related. I watched Resurrection Rebecca Hall, obviously, Tim Roth. I those are the main characters in it that I've seen, but I really enjoyed this one. This is about a woman who lives with her daughter in some city. I believe it's New York, maybe. I can't remember now what the city is. And she is a in some sort of the psychology field and sort of a pharmaceutical, I believe, company in psychology and or psychiatry. And suddenly she sees this guy at a conference. She starts having a panic attack and runs home and starts trying to protect her daughter and everything. And it turns out that it's the guy is Tim Roth. And they have a history together. And I don't want to say too much more about that, but there is a history between these two. And the acting between Tim Roth and Rebecca Hall is absolutely stellar. These are two of the best horror performances of the year, I think, in terms of just pure acting. And he is a manipulative, just a repulsive guy. And what he's done to her in the past is absolutely horrifying, but you're not quite sure exactly what happened in a way. But then what he does when he comes back to her, it gives you a bit of a sickening feeling. And I gotta say that the two of them, it's like a powerhouse acting performance between the two of them, mano-a-mano kind of situation between them. And it's thrilling. I absolutely love this movie, and there's a lot of movies still coming out by the end of the year, but I will not be surprised if it's in my top 10, top five by the end. Yeah, Jimmy?
Well, I was going to say Resurrection, right? They're obviously good actors, but are they as good as Busta Rhymes and Michael Myers in Halloween Resurrection?
Well, no, nothing can be that great. No.
Thank you.
Yeah. but anyway, that is for rent on, let me put up the,
No, it was funny.
I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
That should get applause.
here we go. There we go.
James. Or
actually, I should have done the.
What was the line that Busta Rhymes did when before he dropkicked Michael Myers?
Oh, I can't recall at the moment, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
It was so bad.
Wasn't it Trick or Treat Motherfucker or something
like
that?
Yeah, Trick or Treat Motherfucker.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah.
So bad.
Oh, it's so
bad. I mean, so bad. What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Matt, not to be a mic hog, but I forgot I did watch something else. Watched Men.
Oh,
finally.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Nice. I just didn't realize.
Let me set it up. Joe is in a bad mood for one thing.
Yeah.
Both of us talking how great this movie was. Mm-hmm. So he's already naturally inclined to not like it because somebody else liked it. I don't know what the third one would be. Third reason, Jeff?
The third reason was, what the hell am I watching this for?
I watched.
I actually went out and bought it before I saw it because you guys.
Oh no!
You guys talked it up so much, and I like the actress that's in it, and I figured this is a slam dunk.
That's the third thing.
It was a slam dunk, but it was on the wrong basket. I felt
check with us before you bought it.
I felt like you guys should, like today, just vote me off of this podcast because I'm too stupid to understand that movie. It, like, the whole last, like, 10 minutes of it is visually grotesque. I like that part. I appreciated that. The stuff leading up to it, I mean, I understood it with the male actor being the same guy, the same actor that plays every character. And I can appreciate that, too. And it was a slow burn. I'm okay with that. I you guys are like getting ahead of me. I didn't not like it.
Oh.
I thought it was good. I didn't love it, but I liked it. Which I think is okay.
That's
acceptable in the podcast world these days.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Jimmy, have you seen Men yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy, have you seen Mad God yet?
No.
No.
Yeah, I've been in a little bit of a shell lately. Mm. Apologies.
Joe, how about that one scene in the tunnel, though, when she was going, ha, ha.
Oh, yeah. I liked it. It's very creepy. And yeah. the score was tremendous. I really enjoyed lots of parts of this movie. When I got done watching it, I just felt like I missed something. Hmm. Like my brain just wasn't functioning to the point where I caught all the messages or whatever the main message was. I like visually liked it, but my brain's still confused.
Hmm.
Okay.
So
did you,
I would, if Jimmy watches it and likes it, I would be okay with Cinescaring.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Oh, so if Jimmy likes it, you'd be okay with it.
I would be okay approving it. Yeah.
Okay.
At some point, I'll probably maybe watch it.
Okay.
That would be almost a good idea, but if we did that, then I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre would be Cinescare certified, and I'm not okay with that because all three of you liked Texas.
He just said it, though. So, yeah, that wouldn't count. Because he liked Men.
I liked Men.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right.
That would mean all four of us liked Men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
All four of us liked Men. Yes. Didn't we do that joke last time?
Yeah,
we did, but it's just never gets old. Come on.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw wouldn't be Cinescare certified because you didn't like it. Just like X will not be Cinescare certified.
Oh yeah, you bastard.
What about I can't remember. Was Prey? Jimmy, have you seen Prey yet?
Nope. Have you seen Me Pray Love?
gosh, maybe no, I avoided that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That was part of a trilogy.
Yeah, I know. It was a trilogy, yeah. but it went in a different direction.
All right. So, well, I guess that's all I watched this week that wasn't theme related. It's been a busy couple weeks. In fact, I feel like this last couple weeks, I say this every time, but I feel like it's been a long time since the last time we recorded, but maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's only been 2 weeks. Okay. So this week, our episode is
Deja
I don't
vu.
Know. I was actually looking around for Funhouse like themes, and there's none that I could find that were free. So, and I don't want to, you know,
you don't have the Shock of Miss Louise from the Lost Boys soundtrack?
Yeah. No. Sorry.
That would be a good one.
Yeah. That's where right. you need.
But
that's
we don't
where
have the rights to it. We have to be careful about that.
That never stopped us in the past.
Well, no.
I think I played it when we did the Lost Boys.
Yeah, but now that we're getting bigger, we have to be careful. Because
do we have the rights to the sad trombone sound effect? Because that could go in right here. Thank you.
So this week, the theme for the episode is Fun House Horror. And this was Jimmy's theme. So Jimmy, tell us about why you picked this and then I guess start us off on whatever order you want to.
Cool. Well, I'm going to go, I think, by year. I try to pick movies that aren't just in the recent decades, the recent couple of decades. I try to go a little outside the box. And I knew, you know, I went to Halloween Horror Nights last week. It was amazing. Had a great time. A lot of fun.
Nice.
I was thinking, well, yeah, it's about that time. A lot of these scary, you know, little house of horrors are up. Magic Mountain's doing the Halloween thing. Disneyland's doing the Halloween thing. So I wanted to do something a little in that vein. And so the six movies that we're going to all deal with some kind of tourist area, Fright Fest, amusement area. So, yeah. So let's start out with a movie that came out in 1962. No one really cared when it came out, but throughout the years, it became kind of a cult classic. And I think reviews kind of came out and this movie is good. And that is, of course, 1962's Carnival of Souls, which stars Candace Hillgoss as a woman who survives a car accident and faces some very creepy dude that keeps following her around. I really love this movie, but I want to hear what you guys have to say. Joe, I want to start with you on this one.
I want to start off by saying thank you to our avid listener, Catherine Horan. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Who tipped me off to the Riff Tracks version of Carnival of Souls, which I watched and I absolutely adored. I was laughing my ass off the entire time. I do like this movie. It's very kitschy and even without the Riff Tracks guys, I do like this movie. After watching like the first 15 minutes of it, I think I've seen parts of it, or if not most of it, in the past. So, I do think that throughout the entire movie, the creepiest character is the doctor.
Yes.
He's very handsy.
Yeah, just, definitely.
Just like accosting people on the street. Just seemed, you know, like, I guess it's a great way to get, you know, everybody's copays. But he seemed a little overbearing. I also thought that there's not a whole lot of a story arc for our main heroine.
No.
And she kind of is bipolar in some instances, because one night the guy that lives across the hall from her, you know, one night she wants nothing to do with him. And literally overnight she turns into a chatty Cathy. And you know, I realize it's because she's scared and she wants male companionship, but I don't know. It's bizarre. I love church organs. When I was in college, I had taken this class on Christian heritage and art and design, and we would go visit all these churches to appreciate the architecture. And the one thing I would always do is I'd make sure I'd go upstairs and I'd check out all the church organs. So it's just, it's the most bizarre thing to see that's this woman's career path, is she just goes from church to church playing church organs. So
yeah,
it was a fun movie. I really liked it. And for those of you that have not seen it, I highly recommend, please go watch the Riff Tracks version too.
Mark?
Yeah. Yeah. So I started watching this film and I got like a half hour in and I was struggling a lot because there was a lot of church organ music and it was just going on and on and on. And I'm just really struggling. And so I texted in the CineScare group. I was going, maybe I should try the Riff Tracks, you know, version. And Joe's like, do it. And so I did it. And I said, should I start from the beginning? And Joe's like, yeah, you should do it. Or else it's not going to kind of make sense or something. So it started at the beginning. And they did, this is like the first time I've listened to these guys. They're very funny. And it was a live recording. They were on stage. I don't know where they were, but it was a live recording. And then they did these two little mini movies before Carnival of Souls. So I got into it. I was like, oh yeah, it's funny. And
you
and
never you never saw Mystery Science Theater 3000?
I did. Is that the same guys?
Those are the same guys.
Are the same guys. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was introduced to that by Joe and Matt when we lived in Chicago. So, yeah, had no idea those were the same guys. I thought it was kind of like a ripoff of them because I never saw their faces. All I saw were robots, you know, the little robot and whatnot. You just see the back of the heads in the movie theater. So I was watching it, but with my ADD, I was getting distracted from the movie and I wasn't actually watching the film. And so then I stopped. I said, I'm not giving this film a chance. I'm just listening to the puns and the jokes and, you know, the laughter of the audience. So I turned it off after like about a half hour, which I got basically to the point. So then I started, I went back and I started all over again, but I like fast forwarded and I started watching it and I actually started to enjoy this film. I mean, the director's idea was to take schlock horror films of B-movies, American horror films, and combine them with Ingmar Bergman's cinematic style, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I did with my research. That's what I heard and did with research. And
Bergman's, he's done The Seventh Seal, Wild Strawberries, and The Magician. But the best part of this film, I think, is the creepy neighbor. I thought he was like absolutely fantastic in this. I wanted this film to be about the creepy neighbor almost. I mean, I thought he was great. He was so creepy, bringing over the cup of coffees, you know, the pot, he's pouring it, pouring in, you know, his little bourbon or whiskey or scotch or whatever he's doing. I found him absolutely just fantastic, and it was fun. He made that movie for me. But yeah, no, I actually kind of enjoyed this film. Like later on, I mean, there's a lot of like really great. It's kind of like a Hitchcock kind of thing. I mean, you knew where this film was going to go. I mean, it was pretty like self-explanatory. Like she was dead.
Keep in mind, this is 1962. That wasn't a thing then. You know, like nowadays, yes, of course. We know the truth. If you see that movie now, you know exactly where it's going. Back then, they really didn't. Now, it was kind of a little ahead of its time, I think. I really do.
Well, and I think Mark's right about the look, too, being there were certain shots that just sort of reminded me of Psycho, you know, and I think it might have been like the clarity of how clear the picture was, you know, it was so the cinematography I thought was just really tight, you know, and it was such a clear black and white.
Watched the black and white version?
Yeah.
Because there is a colored version, and the Riff Trax guys did the colored version.
Oh,
I hated it. Yeah, I hated it.
The colored version is awful.
Did not look good.
Was it colorized post?
Oh, yeah, it was colorized post. Yeah.
Back when they went through that phase of wanting to colorize
everything. Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. Thank God they did.
Oh, it was so horrible. Yeah. Mark? You're muted.
We don't hear.
Actually, we should just do the whole show like that.
I like this. This is good.
This is fine.
Next film.
This works.
I'm back. No. Damn it. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. What I did notice is that I think George A. Romero like took a little bit from Carnival of Souls and put it into. There has to be some influences for Night of the Living Dead. He must have seen some of these shots and was basically inspired.
Possibly.
I think so. I mean, it was shot in a little bit of in Pennsylvania too, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. No, it was Utah. It's Utah.
It was in Utah?
Yeah, it was in Utah. Salt Lake City. That's the very popular place in Utah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well,
you know what? We've spent some time on this. I want to jump into the next film because I had not seen this film, but I was like, I'm curious about this, and I'd like to say right now, I'm so sorry. The next film is the 1973 Malatesta's Carnival of Blood, which I will say, guys, if you watch this movie, get stoned or something, it's much better that way. That's literally the only way to watch this film. It is one of the most horrendously bad movies I've ever seen. Matt, would you like to join in on this one?
Yeah, this was bad. And I did take some notes because it was so bad. I felt like I need to like mark this down. The old guy that was chasing, there was almost a dream logic to everything, but if I trusted that the filmmakers planned that feeling to it, then it would almost be an interesting movie to watch. But I just have a feeling they were just shooting whatever they could for the amount of time they had to shoot it. The old guy could barely move. I'm like, why couldn't they fight back against him? Like what was his, that, you know, the old guy that worked at the fair, who was harassing them. I'm like, why couldn't you just punch the guy? Let's see. Oh God! What I wrote something about the fire extinguisher. What happened with the fire extinguisher? Now that I'm thinking about it,
I don't even remember.
Was it after the fire? They were. That was putting out a fire, just like.
Like the whole trailer. Like, you're
really not trying very hard. Yeah.
The whole trailer burned down. And meanwhile, that's the other thing, is he burns down, the dad burns down their own trailer in order to create a distraction. I'm like, couldn't you have found some other way to create a distraction, Mark?
Yeah, it's the editing is what I had a really hard time with. And I don't know if, because when they released this film, it was booed. They were throwing, you know, soda pops, you know.
Why? Pop
at the screen. And they basically destroyed all this, all the copies and all the, of this film. And then in 2000, the director released it on DVD, and it released on Blu-ray, and that's why like people are watching this. But the editing is so bad, and I don't know if it's just the Blu-ray version or the DVD or what we watched on screen, but there are times where you can't even see what's happening on the screen, especially at the beginning of the film when with the tarot card reading and the girl, and you're spinning around and around. You can't even see their faces when they're talking.
Yeah.
I mean, the editing's absolutely like horrendous with this. But I will say that Mr. Blood was the best thing in this movie.
Mr. Blood is a series of run-on sentences. If you watch his dialogue, that's my big note, is Mr. Blood, all he does is just nothing but run-on sentences.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they kept cutting to the movie theater of zombie like creatures just standing there milling about while they're playing some black and white
Hunchback
horror movie.
We know our
movie is terrible. Maybe you'll like to watch a clip from these other movies.
To watch these people watching another movie. Is more interesting than the movie we've got.
Like other movies, guys. Come on.
When this movie started, did anybody else feel like they missed something?
Mm-hmm.
They forgot to start the movie at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I actually went back and started it over to see if maybe like my streaming service skipped something, but nope, that's how that movie starts off.
Yeah.
With the palm reader, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The palm reader. Yeah.
Well, the good thing is the 70s did get better for amusement park horror and funhouse thrills, because the next movie we're going to jump into, because I want no more of Carnival of Blood, Tourist Trap from 1979.
Oh, wait, I had like a whole bunch of notes.
Oh, did you? Okay, go ahead then. I was like, I wanted to get away from this movie, but you want to do it more? Go for it. Bring on the Carnival.
I guess that was one of my questions, was did I miss part of the beginning of the movie? But I did want to point out that at this is the only carnival I've ever seen where at one of the games, you can win rubber chickens as prizes. That's awesome.
That used to be a thing though. Like, really? I think that was a thing. Yeah. Like when I was a kid, I swear to God, you could win those things. I think you could.
I got to point out that Hervé Valachez is in this movie. He plays Bobo.
Yeah.
You guys are forgetting that. I mean, that's huge.
Forgot about that.
And that was before he was on Fantasy Island. So, you know, he was still getting decent work. I love the fact that towards the end of the movie, I got to find it in my notes. Oh, wait. Hang on. There's the part where Mr. and Mrs. Norris are in their trailer before they decide to set it on fire. First off, Mr. Norris has to get revenge for something that happened, but we never find out what it is.
No, you do. Says, yeah. You do.
What was it?
You do. It was his son. It was his son that was missing, and that's why they joined the carnival to work there to find his son.
Yeah.
Okay, great. See, I'm glad we went into this, because now I really like the movie. But there was a part where they were in the trailer together, Mr. and Mrs. Norris, and Mr. Norris actually refers to his wife as Mrs. Norris.
Yep.
As if they didn't, like they were on a really, you know, formal basis.
Well, they're taking their time, Joe.
There's a part where, what's her name? Vina Was that the main character, the girl?
Yes.
Who knows? Wears the same outfit like 3 days in a row.
Right.
Trying to escape, she hops on a roller coaster. And my thought is, hang on, are you seriously? A roller coaster's go in a circle. You're just going to wind up back exactly where you started. This is not an A to B thing. This is an A to A.
You're right.
And I wanted to point out, why did they have an upside down Volkswagen Bug in the setting with like his the trunk was open and they made the inside of it look like a big mouth? What the hell was that?
I have no clue.
Mark knows.
Well, I don't know, but I really enjoyed it because I really enjoyed how that was like one of the things that they created with their own props. And I actually enjoyed that with the cups as teeth.
Yeah.
And like the bubble for the tongue, like the red. I thought that was actually brilliant. The director
has a plastic or a bubble wrap fetish because this whole movie would not have been made if it wasn't for the fine people of the plastic industry.
Well, the set dressing was, you know, it's cheaper that way, Joe.
Yeah. And I have to point out my favorite part. I had to wait all the way to the end of the movie, but the bumbling cop who comes by the next day after all of this takes place. There's a guy, wasn't he gagged, sitting in a dunk tank, and they allow the cop to throw the ball at him and dunk him. I'm like, well, that, you, never mind.
Well, I was surprised. It's like, so he's dunked in water and he just drowns like that. Like, I mean, he's perfectly fine, you know, like
all you have to do is stand up
is going, that's true, or something, scream.
He's drowning in like a foot and a half of water.
Right. Yeah. There's a trailer that just got burned on fire. There's missing people. And then Tattoo just says, throw the balls. You know, here's the cop throwing the balls. And it's like, what? I mean, it's meant for acid, obviously, this film.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You have to be like on some kind of, I don't know, something to watch this movie to enjoy it. You really
mainline black tar heroin. Although we did not suggest it, but
no.
I could see how somebody would do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crack is whack.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging on to that, Joe, because
say no to drugs.
Yeah. We needed that.
Promise me we never have to talk about this movie again. I'm so sorry.
I am done.
Yeah, I'm done. This is one of the worst we've ever watched, I think.
I told Matt,
like, you know, after watching this, I kind of feel bad about giving Drive-In Massacre such a bad rap all these years.
That's a master.
That's our baby, Joe.
In fact, Joe texted me and said, if you like Carnival of Blood, I'm quitting the podcast.
Yeah. Did he really say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, on to bigger and better. You know, like I said, 70s got better. So we have 1979's Tourist Trap, which is really a good flick. I mean, this has, you know, you have a good cast. You have one of Tanya Roberts, one of Charlie's Angels, a lovely woman who passed away recently. Poor thing, RIP. And Chuck Connors. This guy just kills it. But I want to get what you guys got out of it. Mark, let's start with you.
I'll go into this. Directed by David Schmaller?
Schmuller.
He directed Crawl Space and Puppet Master, which we will cover in an upcoming episode for the full franchise. No, we won't. But what this movie did for me was Chuck Connors. Facts. Chuck Connor is the star of this film. He's also from The Rifleman. But I did some digging research with Chuck Connors. He played for the Chicago Cubs. He played for the Boston Celtics. He was the first person ever to smash a backboard in NBA history, which is great. But I remember him from The Rifleman. My mom used to watch it all the time. But this film, I absolutely loved. And it's PG. It's PG.
And yeah, right? It's kind of weird.
It's such a tease. It's like you have these women going into a lagoon and you're ready. You got Tanya, you know, ready for nudity, and they show nothing. They show nothing. But I really enjoyed this film. I really did. This film was like Friday 13th slash Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Carrie.
The remake?
No, not the remake.
Oh, that was so good, by the way. Oh, my God.
I almost caught him.
Not quite that good.
Yeah. Could we talk about that later?
But reportedly, one of Stephen King's favorite horror movies, by the way.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I want to jump on with this whole celebrating the cast. What was her, Becky? What was her actual name, the character?
Oh, it was.
I don't have it.
You mean, did you say Vicky or Becky?
Becky.
The blonde
girl, right? Yeah, that was Joycelyn Jones.
Is I believe she is the one that went on to play Midge on that 70s show.
No, that was Tanya Roberts.
Okay, that's Tanya Roberts. Okay, yeah, Tanya Roberts. Then that was Becky. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, gotcha.
I also wanted to point out, this is not a well-known actor, but John Van Ness, the guy who plays Jerry, I picked him out a mile away because he's in The Natural. He's one of the New York Knights, and he had like a small line that always stuck in my head, so it was nice to see him in other things. The music in this film is bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy. I felt like I was watching an episode, like a Mr. Bean movie watching this. It was just weird. It mm-hmm. did not fit in a horror movie. But no. I really liked all the masks. That whole mannequin thing just seems really creepy. I especially liked it when all the masks, when the jaws would just drop open, and all of a sudden they're singing at you. It's just creepy as hell.
Yeah, so very creepy.
I've never seen this movie. I have never heard of it. This was a brand new little golden nugget I just found in the dirt. So this was, I loved this one. Erwin Yablans.
Yeah, right.
Who was the producer of Halloween.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I didn't care for this one.
What?
I don't know. I was just sort of bored with it. I liked the mask. I liked certain parts, but I really didn't care for this one very much. Yeah, it just didn't really trip my trigger.
Matt hates everything, though.
Embarrassing.
I was in a bad mood.
Yeah,
I
was in a bad mood.
He probably probably bought it on DVD.
This was a movie I watched.
No, Matt. I'm gonna have to disagree with you. Oh, I mean, you could hate this movie or just not like it, but I thought the pacing is really good in this film, and the different settings are so different and cool. You have the oasis in the pond, the wax museum, and then the old house with the mannequins, and also the woods. They were all perfectly separated with different feels to this movie. I thought it was paced so well, and each setting was like a different stage that they were going through. And I love the telekinesis in this, the Carrie vibe. They never explain why this guy has telekinesis. They just don't. But it was fun. It was a different like twist to what I thought I was going to see. Absolutely. I think Chuck Connors killed it in this film. Because I've never seen him perform in anything else besides The Rifleman. And I mean, he really went like forward with it. I mean, he's like dressed in drag, you know, with the mask, and he's rocking back and forth with the doll. And he's got that voice that he was doing when he tied up that one girl in the basement, and he's putting this plaster over her face, and he's going, "You're so pretty, you're so pretty." And I just loved everything about this. And I really, really liked this movie.
I'm glad. Matt, get on board.
Oh, he's not going to get on board. Matt's so tired right now. He's like, listen to me.
Well, let's, you know what? I think we're good on, are we ready to jump to the next ride?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Too.
Now, this is a movie, really the reason I wanted to do this. It's one of my favorite movies. It's a movie that gave Tobe Hooper the chance to kind of uses influences of John Carpenter, even in Halloween. It's the 1981 feature, The Funhouse, starring Elizabeth Berridge, who is a phenomenal actress, by the way, who was excellent in Amadeus. It's about a group of kids that go to a fun house, and there's one guy in there that they don't want to mess with, and they do. And it's I really love this film. I'm excited to hear what you guys think.
I really enjoyed this one a lot. I thought it was really well made. And this was one movie, maybe the first movie that I don't think I've seen that many Tobe Hooper movies. But this is one, because I'd always kind of, you know, you'd heard the rumors about the whole Poltergeist thing, and I've heard from different sides about the look of Poltergeist and not really being a Tobe Hooper look. But this was a very similar, almost Spielbergian look to it. There was a lot of camera flare, or I'm sorry, lens flare shots in it, a lot of wide angle shots. The cinematography was great. And this is the one that I came away from it saying, maybe Toby had more to do with it than we think, you know. And
he did. Spielberg did not do Poltergeist. I don't believe that.
I at least there's some evidence here that he had that, you know, that big cinematic in him. And I thought that the characters were bonkers. I thought that whole scene with the kid that's got the Frankenstein mask on and everything, and he's paying the what was she, a fortune teller or something for a hand job?
Miles, by the way, the actress.
Yeah, for sexual favors and
yeah, we need to get into how the price of inflation.
Right.
That's what Matt and I were talking, texting back and forth. We're watching the movie coincidentally at the same time, and he's like, let me know when you get to this part. And I did. And I got back and I'm like, yeah, what's the problem? He's like, did you see how much he paid her? I'm like, it was a 20, wasn't it? And I had to go back and look. I'm like, he paid her $100 bill for an HJ.
Yeah. And he not only that, but it started out, he was offering 20, I think, or 40. And then it went up to 50. It was a $50 bill. And then it went to 100, and she said, okay. And then I thought to myself, man, that seems expensive for 1981. Not that I'm all that versed in it, but it just seems like a lot, because I know $100 in 1981 was quite a bit of money. More than it is today. And so I was thinking, and for what he got, it was like 2 seconds of nothing. And of course, I guess that was just on Mark, interrupting or waving wildly on your screen are the
exact
same thing, dude.
Is it really?
Yes, yeah, stop.
He only charged $10.
I'm doing my part, so I see that you want to talk. Okay, but when you're waving.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm not saying anything.
But okay, you're just waving while I'm trying to talk.
All right, I'm sorry.
Jeez.
This is all new. This is all new to me.
This is like Kermit the Frog walking back and forth.
It's okay for other people to have something to say.
No, I know.
So, okay. So
our last episode.
Good knowing you guys.
2 year anniversary.
So he pays her this $100, but then later the dad comes in and he's like, you paid her $100 and you know, cleared that hole up. And the kid didn't know what he was doing, and of course the woman was, I guess, taking advantage. Yes, Mark, what did you have to say about $100 hand jobs?
Your prices are lower.
Yeah. Well, now I feel bad at talking. Now
no,
sorry, I didn't know it was bothering you, Matt. Sometimes I forget that you're seeing me.
Well, then why would you be waving if you didn't know that I can see you?
Oh, that's true.
Okay, go ahead, Mark.
All right. Well,
we're all waiting.
Okay, well, I'm saying is that you guys are talking about $100, hand jobs or whatnot. It's like, this guy's a monster. It's like, how does he know, what move? Well, maybe he does know what money is, since he starts off with the 20, now that I think of it. Okay. Never mind.
All of this was for a never mind.
No, I'm sorry. Well, now that I thought of it, but I jumped on the gun. It's like it's a monster. I mean, he looks like the guy from the Steven Spielberg Twilight Zone airplane movie. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, no, Joe, stop waving your hand and all that. No, everybody's doing it now. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, okay. Well, hang on. What's the name of the Twilight Zone episode, guys? Go ahead.
What?
I don't even know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you talking about the Gremlin one with William
Shatner? No, it's not the Gremlin one. I'm talking about the Twilight Zone episode with Shatner.
Yes, that's what I just
said. 20,000 feet?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what the monster looks like, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess kind of, yeah.
Yeah, really? Yeah, he does. So anyways, but yeah, now that I think of it, he brought out... Now that I think of it, he brought out a 20, then a 50, and then a 100. So yes, he does know the value of money.
Well, I think he might not know. He might not have known what the value of that particular sexual favor would be for in that day and age. But that was my point. I was getting to was that then the dad cleared that up at the end. Yeah, Joe.
A couple of things I just want to point out: when the little brother decides to go on the escape out of his house so he can go with his sister to the carnival, and a truck driver pulls over and offers him a lift. That went wrong really fast. Like,
I'm sorry, say that again. I didn't hear the first part.
There's a part where the little brother was like walking along the side of the road and this truck driver pulls over to like ask him what's he doing out there. And then like in a split second, he then pulls a gun on the kid.
Yeah.
And then it went nowhere. It's like that's the last we heard of that truck driver, and the kid just shows up at the carnival, and everything's fine.
And we never saw the truck driver again.
No,
I think so. No.
Yeah.
I did want to point out that I never did the research to see if it was real or not, but that two-headed cow was awesome.
That
and
had to have been real.
It made real. Me. Yeah.
Probably. Probably.
It dawned on me after the scene that we were just discussing with the hand job, this whole movie was predicated on a bad business transaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If she would have just had reasonable prices, you know, done her research, find out what her competitors are charging, we would have been fine. Jimmy, did you have something to say?
Oh yeah, I did. Thank you for giving the floor to me. I was going to say,
I noticed you waving your hands, flailing in the air.
I wonder if the cow got a better deal for the hand job.
Could have.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, now since the cow's got two heads, does he have to pay twice?
Oh my God.
Two heads are better than one.
Well, and then the dad said, you could have just gone to one of the showgirls and gotten it for 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the going rate.
Yeah.
For handies.
Everybody knows that.
And that seems more reasonable for that time period, I would imagine, anyway.
Right.
Mark?
How much are hand jobs, Mark?
$100.
Even if I ask you nicely, do I get a friend discount?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I forgot now what I was going to talk about. No, oh, never mind. Okay.
The value of money?
No.
Okay. Anyway, I think, are we good to move on to the next ride?
I think so.
Well, no. Oh, can I say one thing? Matt said from before, and I made some notes on this, and I'm going to have to disagree a little bit with Matt with Poltergeist. Now this seemed and really felt like a Hooper film. It's now confirming, at least in my mind, Steven Spielberg had more and more to do with Poltergeist as in directing. Now, I know what Matt's saying with the flares, with the lens light flares. I saw that. I was like, ooh, Poltergeist, I saw that. But are we really going to say that he went from the Funhouse to Poltergeist as his next film and did – Poltergeist after the Funhouse. There's no
with
way.
With the budget? Yeah. Yeah.
With
absolutely.
The budget? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think so. I don't totally. Think so. I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm pretty sure that's been mostly disproven that it was Steven Spielberg stepping in. I'm sure he had some insight, but yeah, no, I think that's been mostly.
I mean, Mick Garris worked on it on Poltergeist, and he swears up and down that Toby Hooper directed that. That Spielberg got involved a lot, but Toby Hooper directed.
And that's very common.
Like with the editing, is Mick Garris saying, Mick Garris is saying that it's just with the editing and. Like afterwards, after like Hooper directed that, maybe Spielberg made it more of a Spielberg, you know, film.
No, Mick Garris says that Spielberg was on set and he's very hands on, but Toby Hooper was directing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That seems to be the consensus nowadays.
It just seems like such a leap in of filmmaking.
No, given a budget like that. I mean, the Funhouse is a very well directed film. Especially
I enjoyed it.
Film. So you're looking at and it happens all the time when you see a filmmaker come like you know look at Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction. It's a big difference between those two films, the way they look, the way that the kind of money that goes in there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Toby Hooper was a pretty good director. And I think he did Poltergeist.
I'm still not convinced.
Well, you went from a $3 million budget in the Funhouse to an $11 million budget in Poltergeist. So you're able to do a lot of kinds of shots and use a lot of equipment that you wouldn't be able to use otherwise.
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's just that it's the clicking of the remotes of, you know, the battle of the remotes. And I mean, that's Spielberg right there. There's so much Spielberg in this film. And I see Hooper, but I'm not convinced yet. I'm not convinced.
I mean, it's his film. It's Hooper's film.
I mean, Spielberg wrote Poltergeist.
Yeah, that's why you're seeing.
I mean, you're seeing a lot of Spielberg there, but he wrote it, and he was on set. He was a producer. He was involved. Yeah, but the narrative. I think the narrative that Toby Hooper was just sitting there as a figurehead doing nothing has been disproven.
I'm not saying Hooper didn't do anything. I'm sure he was directing the film. I'm just saying, it's. I just don't feel like it's Hooper's film. I just don't. I still haven't it's not clicking with me still. You know, with everybody saying, you know, all this, still not clicking. Yeah. Especially after watching The Funhouse. But, you know, we agree
and
we disagree.
Yeah, I had the complete opposite reaction, but I thought Funhouse showed clear evidence that he had a lot of involvement in Poltergeist.
I would like to state for the record that I just don't care because I liked both films.
At the end of the day, Poltergeist is a great film. Yeah. I enjoy both films. Although, like, what was the deal with at the beginning of the film with the Halloween ripoff, though?
It was a Halloween Psycho. It was a homage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a
homage? He was playing legitimately playing homage to earlier films. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was funny, though, that she gets attacked. This, the main character, for those of you who haven't seen it, she's taking a shower. Oh, and it was almost record-breaking booby shot. But the curtain gets pulled back, and she's getting stabbed by a guy in a mask, which we find out later is the knife is rubber. But what I didn't get is she has this definite look of terror in her face, but yet she can't realize that the person that's stabbing her is 4 foot tall and standing on a clothes hamper.
Yeah,
because Michael Myers turns around and jumps down.
Michael Myers was 7, so you know you never know.
That's actually an excellent point. Yeah. I didn't think about
never
that.
Know.
Yeah,
never know.
Yeah.
What was the next one, Jimmy?
Well, guys, let's jump into the next one. The funniest thing, the next two films are both have Hell in the title. The first one is the 2015 found footage Hell House LLC, which I had not seen, Matt. I picked this because you had mentioned it. Before I get into my thoughts, I want to hear what you liked about it.
Me?
Yes. Oh, that's you.
That sounds like you didn't like it.
Very generic and very okay.
Yeah, I love this movie. I thought there were some really, when I go see a found footage movie, I want to see some creepy shots, some weird scenes and stuff. And I love the clown. I liked the girl in the bedroom, that whole part. I thought all of that stuff, I thought was totally creepy. The guy in bed, and he sees the girl sitting across the room, and you see stuff in the background. All that stuff I thought was very effective. Like all found footage, there were annoying characters, you know, involved. But and then the clown sitting down in the basement and all of that. I thought all of that was really creepy. And we watched this a couple years ago. Actually, we watched it when we were in Iowa, when we moved to Iowa briefly. And I still remember we were like, well, let's watch this. And it was like October, and it was going to be one of my Shocktober viewings, because I'd read some good stuff on Letterboxd from people I follow about it. And so I thought it was very creepy and very well done. Gave me the chills a few times. And so, yeah, it's one of my favorite found footage movies. Yeah.
Well, Joe, what about you?
I hated it.
Joe doesn't like found footage.
I don't like found footage.
I gathered.
Shaky camera work, no controlled lighting, no musical score, over the top acting, a lot of post production work to make the film look crappy, a lot of mindless arguing, and more over talking than this podcast. And it just. Scene after scene, it's just an affliction with me. I don't particularly care for any found footage films.
You've never liked one? Like, there's not one that you're like, yeah, okay, that one I like.
You didn't like Paranormal Activity?
Paranormal Activity, I enjoyed the first time I saw it.
Okay,
That was one that was done well enough that I was taken out of the idea that I was in shaky cam footage and whatnot. This. It didn't pull me in enough to make me feel like I was there with them. So I just feel like I'm staring at a screen and waiting for it to be over. So
yeah,
that's just me.
You didn't find any of the clown stuff creepy?
No.
Or those scenes where they're, huh? Crazy.
What about
irredeemable?
You, what was your take on it?
I enjoyed this movie. There were tense parts, but I wasn't scared in the least bit. That's not saying this isn't a bad film. What I'm saying is that I was very impressed how the director made a found footage film that was well made, how there was different time jumps in this film, and it never seemed confusing to me. I didn't get motion sickness too much with the handheld cam. And
does that happen to you in found footage a lot?
It does a lot. Mm. It does a lot, but... Okay.
I know a lot of people say that, yeah.
Yeah, but for what a found footage was, I'll put this after Blair Witch. But here's the thing. It wasn't scary for me at all. I did like the clown bit at the top of the basement stairs, mm-hmm. where the camera guy was, you know, looking at it, and then it was looking away, and then going – he went downstairs, and it's there – I enjoyed that. But I was more impressed how well they made a found footage film, but this movie didn't scare me at all. I was okay with it. But yeah, just how it was done. Well done. Well done for that. But yeah.
Joe, what are you thinking?
I wanted to point out that if somebody were to take this script and redo it without it being found footage, I think this would be an excellent movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's just the found footage aspect of it that takes me out of it.
I kind of agree with you, Joe, because here's my take on the film. I thought it was fine. I thought it was... okay, I don't mind found footage. I think it can be a interesting take, but I also think it's kind of played. It doesn't really work as well as it used to. But I will say I did like Gore Abrams, the guy who played the camera guy, who was always talking to the camera. I like, because it was such an, he was kind of a dick. Like there was something kind of, I don't know, he did very politically incorrect and very like, I kind of liked the actor a lot. I thought he brought something to it. I didn't mind the actors. I thought it would look good. I thought it was an interesting idea, but I felt like it was just an idea that they didn't completely formulate. And I know they've made a lot of sequels to this movie. I've not seen a single one. I don't know if you guys have.
No, they're terrible. I've seen part two, and I think I saw part three, and they're both bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're both. I don't know if there's more than that, but I didn't care for either of the sequels. And I did, and which is disappointing because we really liked it. But, you know, when we first saw it, I think it was like the perfect situation. It was kind of stormy outside and we were just in the mood for something creepy, and I thought the whole clown part really gave me the chills. And then those scenes like in the bedroom with the, I think that's the camera guy who was politically incorrect, right, who was in the bedroom and the girl was in the bedroom, whole scene where he hides under the covers and then looks and she's a little closer, that kind of stuff really gets me. And so it played right into my wheelhouse. And a lot of found footage, I think that, you know, there are a lot of found footage movies that I don't even know what I'm saying. Go ahead, Joe.
That was actually a part that I was like rolling my eyes, and I wrote a bunch of notes about it. Like, so this guy wakes up from a dead sleep in his bed, and he sees there's a girl sitting on the floor in his room, and he decides his way to solve all this is to cover his head with the sheets.
Yeah.
Like a 40-year-old boy, and then looks again. I'm like, really? You think that's going to make it all go away?
His maturity level wasn't high.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it was, you know, his just desserts, because he had been sexually harassing every woman on the set the whole time. And then of course it's the ghost of a girl that gets him.
Mark rolled his eyes. Why did you roll your eyes, Mark?
No, I mean, I didn't. Well, I rolled my eyes with, you know, like what Joe was saying, like when the cameraman was underneath the sheets, but I understand how this film was made. It's like, they don't have much money, so it's going to be found footage.
Sure.
So, and if you're going to make a found footage, they did it good. They did it well. And obviously they did two sequels afterwards. So like, clap my hands on that. I couldn't do that. And like I said, I think it's one of the better found footage films I've watched. It just, I don't know what found footage is now to me. It's just, I respect people who do found footage because it's cheaper to do. Mm-hmm. It's a way to get into the industry.
Yeah.
And they did a good job. They really did a fantastic job. I was like interested and enthralled like all the way, but it was just one of those things where it just didn't connect and it didn't scare me at all.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what do you have to add?
I think like what Mark said about it, it is cheaper to do found footage, which is why there winds up being a glut of found footage films out there. And
well, there used to be, not so much anymore.
Yeah, not as much anymore, but there for a while, especially after Paranormal Activity, there just was a glut of them, because Paranormal Activity, I mean, they make it for, you know, I don't even know how much, but it wasn't very much, $20,000, $40,000, something like that. I can't remember. And then it makes $100 million in the box office or whatever. I mean, it's just pure profit. And then a lot of movie companies started doing it because it's like, you know, why not? It's cheap to do. And so you get a glut of them, and they're not all going to be great. But once in a while you stumble upon one. And I thought that this was one that was very effective.
Matt, it was a $15,000 budget for Paranormal Activity, and it grossed in the U.S. Well, it's worldwide gross, $193 million.
Yeah.
So what are we doing, like, producing a film? Just make our own
film?
Well,
got to make a found footage.
Work on that. Yeah, exactly.
Got to do found footage,
Yep.
Well, I guess, guys, for the next film, we're going to step a little bit outside the found footage, because I can only handle so much of that, as Joe would probably agree. Let's jump into 2018's kind of underappreciated Hellfest. Now, this movie is directed by Gregory Plotkin. It has a pretty decent cast. It's a pretty decent idea. And I think it's probably far better than I even remembered. What about you? Mark, I want to start with you on this one. If you can talk, I think he's sneezing. So apologies. That's the worst talk.
It's his big opportunity to talk, and he's sneezing away over here.
Sneezing away, bless you.
I'm like literally sneezing.
Did you eat that pocky chip already? Or?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
I thought you were waving your hand or something.
I'm not waving. Oh, gosh. Dang it.
Somebody get him a tissue.
Hellfest. I would love to attend one of these Hellfests if they actually existed. It's paradise. I know it would be paradise, yeah, for James, Joe, and Matt. Paradise. Some of the effects that they did. If I walked into one of these attractions and saw what I saw during this film, I would be in heaven, absolute heaven. Such,
well, it's basically like Halloween Horror Nights at Universal. It's basically what it is, right?
Is it that big, though?
It is.
Or
but it
not Scary because, Farm?
No, but well, those you can't be touched. There are extreme haunted houses,
yeah,
that you can be touched. They can put a bag on your head. They can get nudity, right, can be involved.
But the setup of an amusement park, a normal amusement park that's been dressed up for Halloween, right? That's what this is, right?
Yeah, but it leads to the one where you can go and you have to sign the non-disclosure agreement. Yeah, So it's kind of a little bit of both. Yeah. But yeah, definitely, it's definitely got the mood of those incredibly well. I mean, it's a very atmospheric film. I mean, it feels like you're walking, exactly like you said, it's like you're walking into Halloween Horror Nights. It's very cool.
Yeah, I've been to Six Flags, you know, like Halloween Fest and whatnot. It's not even close to that, and it's Six Flags. But, I mean, movie. This is just, like, nonstop, just all crazy. But I really enjoyed this film. It's got a little bit of Kevin Williamson, like, Scream acting to it I'm sure you guys noticed, especially at the beginning. But what I love about this film is that it's a slow burn. They don't go nuts, and they really put the characters into this atmosphere, and you can just sit back and kind of relax and just enjoy like the visuals and whatnot. And when they're going through all these scenarios, it's absolutely great. But the killer in this, it's just one killer, is what I really enjoy about it, but that's not until the end. But I really enjoyed this film. I believe I did watch this film years ago and I really enjoyed it. So I rewatched it again and I had a blast with it.
Nice.
Joe?
I really liked it. My wife actually had the idea for this film about 15 years ago. One day she came to me, she's like, you know, they should make a horror movie where somebody goes into a haunted house, but one of the characters in there is actually a killer. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. We should do that someday. Never did. So, but anyway, when I saw this movie the first time, that just kept ringing in my head. I'm like, somebody finally made it. What a great idea. I enjoyed it quite a bit, which I don't know if that's shocking to you guys or not, but I had fun with it. Like Mark said, exactly. I could just sit down, turn my brain off, and enjoy. It was very visually interesting. I like the mask that they made for the killer.
Yeah.
It was very creepy. I also really appreciated it when you find out later that there are several of them throughout the park, which I thought was great. Gives them some more anonymity. I like the little twist at the end. Leaves it open for a sequel.
Mm-hmm. Loved it. Loved
which
it.
We still haven't seen.
I would like to. Yeah.
Me too.
The little punky girl that's in there, she's a little annoying, but I can get over that. But that's
she's
just a character
really
actor thing.
She's really hot.
I think the lead girl was really good. I really liked her. She was a good final girl in this. I liked her a lot.
I like the kills in the movie. I like the special effects, the practical effects. I really don't have any problem with this film.
Wow.
So it was enjoyable.
Wow.
And yes, like Mark said, very similar, I would say, in plot devices and whatnot as Scream.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can definitely see Scream in that.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you guys all of this. Is it really, though, better than Carnival of Blood? Really? A little.
Yeah, this is one that I've loved since I saw it several, you know, a few years ago or whatever. And for some reason, I had it in my head that you had watched it, Joe, and didn't like it before. But maybe that was something else.
I had watched it, but I liked it.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think Hellfest is just a really underrated slasher. You know, it's a really well done, you know, a lot of people complain like, why can't they do something original? And this was pretty original. I mean, no, that, you know, the idea of somebody stalking somebody else and even the idea of a funhouse situation where there's a killer isn't necessarily brand new, but the way they did it and everything, it felt fresh. I thought the main girl was really good. I agree. The little punky girl was a little annoying.
Too on the nose.
It's a little on the nose. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I feel like when you have a character in a movie like this, everyone else is fairly subdued in this movie. And then they have her. And I think they wanted her to be the free spirit, the one that kind of gets the group energized. And it's just a bit much. Nothing I hated, but yeah, I agree. It was a little bit much, but I thought all of the stalking scenes were really well done. And I thought the tension was strong and I thought it was pretty brutal, surprisingly brutal at times in the kills, you know? And I thought, you know, they did a, you know, it's not like a Rob Zombie movie or anything like that, but I thought they definitely, it had an edge to it. I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
Mark? Yeah. Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with the punky girl. I thought her acting was a little bit too on point. It's like, I love horror. I love this. And when she's on stage with Tony Todd and she's doing the bow and whatnot, I'm just going, all right, you know, it's a little bit too much, but I do love that guillotine scene. Where it came down and it didn't cut her head off and it just like nicked her a little bit and it kept on going and on. That was a great scene.
Yeah.
But what I really, really enjoyed about this film was the new boyfriend and how he was killed and how he was offed at the very, very, well, he was the first person to get offed, and that right. was very surprising and refreshing, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, funny enough, we agree on something, Mark. I really liked that Robbie Attell as the actor. He's actually pretty good in the film.
Yeah,
he's very charismatic. Those two together, I think. What is her name? I forget her name. I believe it. Yeah, I don't. I'm not gonna look it up. Rainn Edwards, is that her? No, that's the other girl. I thought they made an interesting couple. I love that they went outside the box with his character, and you expected him to make it a little bit longer, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Joe, what's up with you? What do you think?
I agree that I like that they killed him off early and sort of abandoned her. I didn't. That was the only kill that I had an issue with. Because can you die by just getting a hypodermic needle in your eye? It just seemed like it wasn't brutal enough. Like it should have been much longer, or shove the whole needle, like even the plunger and everything through his eye.
I don't know.
It seemed like something he could have. Yeah. It seemed like something like,
wait, which guy are you talking about? That's not the boyfriend. The boyfriend gets the mallet thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So who got the hypodermic needle?
That was the other guy, the other buddy of hers.
Okay. Yeah. That was the mallet I didn't have a problem with, but the hypodermic needle, when they killed the kid with the hypodermic needle in the eye, I figured I was going to see him later because I didn't think that was a brutal of enough kill. I figured he was going to get up and save the day, but then he never does. So you just have to assume that that killed him, and that just didn't seem right.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the actress is Amy Forsyth. That's the lead actress. I really like her.
Well, and this one also for any of you listeners out there, and you guys too. I don't remember if you guys have seen this one, but there is a movie very, very similar.
Yes,
I think a bit more brutal. And that is called Haunt from 2019. It was directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods, who are from Iowa. They actually went to the high school I went to, Bettendorf, Iowa. And they wrote A Quiet Place, the original Quiet Place, and they wrote and directed Haunt, which is on Shudder. And it is a really effective, very similar storyline, although it's not about an amusement park. It's about a backyard, not backyard, but like, you know, people do their own haunted houses outside in their yard or whatever. It's one out in the country, and it's but this group of people who are sadistic. And so it's got a bit of a definitely an edge. It's I think a bit more brutal than Hellfest. But it's really, I thought, very well done and pretty creepy too. Have you guys all seen that one, Haunt?
Well, Matt, I was going to actually say that came very close to being on my list because we could have done Final Destination 3. We could have done Haunt. There was a lot of things we could have done. But it was between Hellfest and Haunt. I think I wanted to give Hellfest a little love because I think I hear more people talking about Haunt than I do Hellfest.
Yeah, so totally. Totally. But it's definitely it's a good lead in to recommending Haunt to anybody who hasn't seen it. But Joe and Mark, have you guys seen Haunt?
No, I haven't.
I have not. No,
It would be good for you guys to watch on Shocktober or whatever. It's a good one because it's set at Halloween and everything. So yeah.
Well, guys, that was my list. That's it. That's all six. We good got them.
Yeah, that was a good list. I think.
Especially Carnival of Blood.
Well, even Carnival of Blood was entertaining. How bad it was.
It was fun.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't love. Of Tourist Trap, but even that was entertaining enough. Good pick, James. And Mark is going to be doing the pick next. So, Mark, tell us what you've picked and what movies we should be watching this next couple of weeks.
Well, we're not going to be watching much. My pick is a very interesting one. We are interviewing a author who has written some scary books in the past. Not many of you have heard of this guy, but he's an up-and-coming writer who is, in my opinion, going somewhere. His name is Matthew Speak. Have you guys heard of him?
Never heard of him.
That sounds like him.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Well, he has published some books you might have heard of, such as Devil's Glen and Crow's Creek. And his upcoming novel is The Last House, coming soon. We're going to go deep and hard into Matt's past, present, and future, discussing his books, his process of writing, and maybe a little James Lipton questionnaire with our co-host, Matt. And then after that, we will deep and hard. And then after that, we will tackle one film and one film only. We will do a film discussion on the classic John Carpenter film, The Thing.
Excellent.
Ooh, good choice.
Are you including in that the originals as well?
No, we're just doing The Thing. We're just doing The Thing.
Just the original. Okay.
No prequel?
I have a 4K copy of that I just got in the mail a month ago that I've been dying to watch.
Well,
That'll be nice.
Oh, no, we got The Fog. That's right. We got The Fog.
Yeah.
Plus, Matt, you should be thrilled that we're going to go deep and hard into your future.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's hot.
Thanks, Doc Brown.
I thought for a minute you said we were going to go deep and hard into your pants. But I think you said past.
We're the future.
We're doing that too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be part of it. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Mark. And I look forward to talking about The Last House. So those of you out there, please, if you're a reader and you're into horror novels, check out my book, The Last House. It is on pre-order and it will, as of right now, it's on pre-order and it will be released September 20th, which is this coming Tuesday. Joe.
I just want to state for the record that I'm looking very forward to Mark's James Lipton impression.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have no idea. I've been practicing too.
At your studio.
Cannot yep. wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
just wait. Matt,
I hope he shaves his head.
Mm-hmm. Matt, just remember the questionnaire at the end.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I think it'll be more like Between remember. Two Ferns.
yeah.
Oh, wait.
You're ruining it.
Oh.
Well, we will look forward to Mark's pick, The Thing. I think that's a great move or a great movie to focus on solely. And mm-hmm. it definitely has a lot of fans. It's one that in the past didn't get much love when it first came out and has really gained a big following and is now, you know, is considered, many people have it as their favorite horror movie of all time.
I would say it's one of the most important horror films of all time. Honestly.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Mark?
True. Matt, Joe, and I also have this in our top 10 of favorite horror films of all time.
Yep.
James, what are you thinking on this film? Same thing.
Absolutely.
Top 10.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Top
10. Yeah, it's a fantastic film.
So we're not even gonna touch on the Mary Elizabeth Winstead remake.
That's so good though.
I might just watch it anyway. So,
well, it's not the worst movie. It's just,
Well,
it's,
Joe, also,
it's
I mean,
just another opportunity to see Ramona Flowers. So, watch her anytime.
Yeah, exactly. you could still do this for your Who Wore It Better?
Who Wore It Best
series? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess. Please like us on whatever podcast app of choice you have. Go on there, rate us, review us. What is it, Joe? I was supposed to say rate and review. Listen, rate, and review. And also go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. Check out Mark's blog. When are those blog entries going to be happening?
The first blog will be released before our next episode for sure.
Okay. So within the next couple of weeks, there will be a blog from Mark. And check out our merchandise, please. All the proceeds from the merchandise go to support our show, for our hosting, and for all the other things that, you know, promotions or whatever that we're going to do. So please look at it. And we got some cool t-shirts designed by our own Mr. Joe Jans, by the way. So
that's me.
And if you haven't yet, follow us on Facebook. There's a Facebook fan group. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, and follow us on the TikTok. Did I say it all?
Yeah.
You said it all.
Nailed Excellent. It all. Yeah.
All right. Well, then we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Au revoir.
Save us there.